When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And Danny,
hello, folks. Welcome to Kudlow. I'm Larry Kudlow. So Iran's attack on Israel was stopped cold. Now we wait for an Israeli attack on Iranian military assets, and then hopefully a final annihilation of Hamas. We're going to hear from Senators Joni Ernst and Marsha Blackburn, Alan Dershowitz and Greg Jarrett on Alvin Bragg's dumb trial against Trump. Never should have been brought in the first place. And today is tax day. Do you know where all your tax money has gone? No one knows. We'll ask Steve Moore, Steve Forbes, and Kevin Hassett. But first up, Aisha Hosni has details from Capitol Hill. Aisha, what can you tell us?
Hey, Larry, good afternoon to you. Well, House Republicans are heading back to the Hill, and they will huddle tonight in a conference meeting about 5:30 p.m. And if he hasn't already, Speaker Mike Johnson is going to get an earful about how to bring Israel aid to the floor, exactly what that package is going to look like. He's already heard directly from President Biden, and I can tell you the White House, along with leaders Schumer and McConnell, and also House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries, are all together calling on Johnson to take up the Senate-passed foreign aid package, over $90 billion that includes Ukraine aid as well. All of this urgency, Larry, comes as the White House is trying to defend President Biden from using the word don't to try to prevent that attack on Israel from Iran. Now, Johnson, actually, go ahead and listen. I think we have the sound.
Has President Biden considered maybe beefing up the public Iran posture to be more than just one word?
You're referring to don't.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about...
And they did it anyway.
And let's talk about what we did, Peter. Let's talk about don't and did. Let's talk about Saturday night. He made it clear that he didn't want to see escalation in the region. When we had an inkling that this kind of thing was coming, he added even more military resources to the region. More destroyers that were capable of shooting down ballistic missiles, a fighter squadron that was able to shoot down drones. And that's what we did.
So let's not talk about don't, he says. Let's talk about what he did. So let's get back to Speaker Johnson, who could try to pass a standalone Israel aid bill. He failed at that earlier this year. He's passed, though, an Israel aid bill with pay force. That's stuck in the Senate right now. The House Freedom Caucus out with a letter that says the need for Israel aid is a, quote, bogus justification to ram through Ukraine aid with no offset. Some Senate conservatives out there pressuring Johnson to hold the line.
Hold your ground. Show some cojones. Show some industrial fortitude, for goodness sakes. You've already passed aid to Israel. Tell Chuck Schumer when he's ready to take it up, take it up, and it's going to be paid for. It's a great precedent if Speaker Johnson will stick by his guns.
So again, Larry, we'll learn more after tonight's conference meeting. Could get a little contentious in there. Larry?
I should just one quickie from your excellent report. I know no one knows. No human being on the planet yet knows. They meet at 5:30 today. But do you think that Mr. Johnson, Speaker Johnson, will keep a border provision in whatever foreign aid bill comes out?
Well, that's the one thing that's been lost in all of this, right? So many conservatives wanted border provisions as a part of this foreign aid package, a global security package. That got lost in the entire conversation when the Senate passed this Ukraine aid / Israel aid package. That's not even coming up in a topic of conversation. I just want to remind you, Larry, the House is going to send articles of impeachment for Secretary Mayorkas tomorrow about 2 o'clock. And once they do that, the Senate freezes, cannot take any more action. So Schumer really has to figure out how he's going to do both things at the same time, walk and chew gum, as soon as they get those articles. But a lot of conservatives have told me privately, border has to come first, even before Israel.
Yeah, I've heard the same. All right, Aisha Hosni, thank you very, very much. We appreciate it. All right, a couple words from me on the Israeli story. Take the win, Mr. Biden reportedly told Prime Minister Netanyahu. But That seems about as useless as don't, which, of course, was Mr. Biden's statement before Iran's assault on Israel. Didn't work very well either, did it? One of our distinguished Fox News reporters labeled don't a while back, originally the Biden statement before Russia invaded Ukraine, labeled don't as something you say to your dog who insists on pulling your sock. No. I think the Wall Street Journal editorial page has a better idea that Israel is justified in attacking Iran's assets, including military assets. Don't is just failed U.S. deterrence. And don't doesn't work with Iran because the Bidens eased the economic and oil sanctions. Then they freed up tens of billions in frozen funds and also haplessly tried to renegotiate a nuclear deal. And another don't is don't blame it on Donald Trump, who enforced the sanctions and bankrupted Iran and took out Soleimani. Earlier today, I spoke with Robert O'Brien, the former national security advisor to President Trump. And O'Brien believes that Israel should bomb Iranian drone and missile factories, which would be a proportionate, limited, and carefully targeted action. It would probably be well received by the Europeans, since they would welcome an end to Iran's drone sales to Russia in the Ukraine war. Mr. O'Brien has a long track record as a superb national security strategist. And then, according to O'Brien, the next important Israel action should be to finish the job against Hamas. He frets that the Israelis have already waited too long to cover Hamas because the Jewish state is always concerned about the civilian casualty toll and, of course, the issue of hostages. So, Mr. O'Brien counsels an effective but proportionate Israeli strike by Israel against Iran and then wipe out Hamas once and for all. I think it's wise words from a tough America First strategist and someone who understands the importance of defending freedom against this new world of global threats. Anyway, for more on all of this, let's bring in Iowa Senator Joni Ernst. She is the chair of the Senate Republican Policy Committee. Senator Ernst, welcome. I think don't doesn't work, and, you know, you won the game, doesn't work. I mean, why not listen to Robert O'Brien? You know him very well, a very savvy national security strategist. A proportionate response by Israel would be to knock out some of these drone factories, knock out missile factories. The Europeans might like it because they've been Iran selling drones to Russia in the Ukraine war. What do you make of that? Do you think that's a possibility?
Yes, I think it is the right thing to do. And thank you, Larry, very much. Former NSA Robert O'Brien is spot on. And Israel does need to target and push back on Iran. This cannot go unpaid back. We simply must see them respond in like to Iran. Unprecedented Iran directly attacking Israel, not going through proxies, not using Hamas or Hezbollah, but going directly on Israel. The United States also has a role to play in this. One, we need to pass this supplemental package in whatever form it takes, make sure that we're able to provide the munitions and the platforms necessary for Israel to defend itself. But then we can also provide targeting. We can support with logistics. Whatever it might happen to be, we have a role as well to help our friend and major partner in the Middle East, Israel.
You know, just strikes me, Senator Ernst, that the Biden advice here, unlike the O'Brien advice, the Biden advice to Israel is do nothing else. I think that shortchanges Israel. I think that plays into Iranian hands. And I think that plays into the whole axis of evil. You know, China, Russia, North Korea, Iran. I mean, to me, that isn't helping anybody but our enemies.
Oh, absolutely. Larry, you and I have discussed this before. President Biden is on this mission of appeasement with all of these authoritarian regimes around the world. He has got to step up and show leadership. He has failed in every aspect. As you mentioned, from the Iran nuclear agreement, where we basically unlocked billions of dollars for Iran to use on purchasing these drones and missiles to target not only Israel, Israelis, but American service members in the Middle East. Think about the three service members from Georgia, those that serving in the Army Reserves at Tower 22, that were killed by the very missiles that were, or drones that were purchased by those dollars that Biden freed up for them. Not enforcing Iran's sanctions on their oil, allowing the illicit sale of oil at a five-year all-time high and to the tune of $80 billion. Again, those funds go to the terrorist proxies and for the targeting of Americans abroad. So it needs to stop. The president needs to stand up. I have a bipartisan bill in the Senate. It's mirrored in the House, which would force the president to enforce those Iranian sanctions on their oil. He needs to do it today.
Yeah, should have probably done it yesterday. Senator Ernst, the one distraction that I don't want to distract is the need for Iran, need for Israel to close the deal on Hamas. Cover Hamas, annihilate Hamas, destroy Hamas. I mean, they're going to make some action, presumably, to retaliate against Iran. Most people are for that. But they got to close the deal on Hamas. Isn't that, I mean, to some extent, in terms of the existential fight to maintain the Israeli state, to me, that's really the biggest single issue. Hamas. End it right now. Just knock them out.
I agree completely. Hamas has to be gone. They need to release the prisoners as well. We know Hamas was holding eight American prisoners, five of whom are still presumed to be alive. We need them home with their families today. But Hamas has to go. They are funded large in part by Iran. Israel should take them out. And Americans, you need to understand this will always be a threat to the existence of Israel. They need to be allowed to move forward with ever, whatever they choose to do militarily to get rid of Hamas. The United States and others should not be interfering with what Israel wants to do militarily. This is, we would not accept this if someone came to us after 9/11 and said, stop going after the terrorists.
And Senator,
we shouldn't allow it to happen in Israel.
Pardon me. Senator, it's last one, a few seconds. You know, a potential heartbreak story, though. We don't know. No one seems to know what hostages are still there, what hostages are alive. Israeli hostages, American hostages, as I'm sure you saw, very disturbing reports in the Wall Street Journal and elsewhere on Friday and Saturday before this Iranian attack. I mean, what about the hostages? Who knows?
Exactly. And we keep pressuring the Egyptians and the Qataris to step up and do more to get these hostages home. Senator Ted Budd and I have been extremely involved with the hostage families, working with officials in Israel to make sure those hostages are returned. But we know that Hamas is not treating them well. They don't even allow the Red Cross to go in to deliver medication to see for the welfare of those hostages. So we will stay on this, Larry, but bottom line, we got to get those folks home to their families. They need to be cared for. And again, Hamas needs to be wiped off at the face of the planet.
Yes, ma'am. Well said. Thank you, Senator Joni Ernst. As always, we appreciate it very, very much.
Well, thank you, Larry.
All right. Coming up here on Kudlow, 8 years later and 7 months before the 2024 election, a trial that should never have happened in a case that D.A. Alvin Bragg should never have brought. Come on. We're going to talk about it with Alan Dershowitz and Greg Jarrett. Just election interference, nonsense. Can't get a fair trial. Kudlow is going to return. Remember, you can catch Kudlow Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. every day right here on Fox. And if for some reason you can't catch us at 4, just text your favorite 9-year-old, and she will show you how to DVR the show. And you will never miss a single thing. We don't need the Bragg trial. No, 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 no.
It gives me a feeling of appreciation, brings me back to reality.
Some say nature heals.
it just centers you and it can bring you back to, you know, what is really important in life.
Breathing in the crisp air several thousand feet high, hearing the birds chirp, leaves rustle in the wind, feeling like one with the earth. It's an experience people crave, an escape from our busy lives.
We had visited this area a couple times before, and we just fell in love with it.
It's why millions of people look at the Great Smoky Mountains as a true vacation, a chance to hit the pause button on work or stress.
The next thing that we need to do here is to put in the kitchen cabinets.
Yeah, we're waiting for this last one from...
Brandon and Emma Musto found peace in the Smokies, but saw more than just a vacation within the mountain ranges of East Tennessee. They saw an opportunity.
We kind of decided this is a great place to start a business because the weather in the Smokies is really unique. There's almost like there's not an off season here because the weather is so temperate. So even in the winter, it's very temperate. And unlike other national parks, you can still go hiking and there's still so much you can do and enjoy outdoors.
What you'd usually consider slower seasons, like winter, aren't so slow in the Smokies. In fact, Christmas week is historically their busiest week every year because you can still enjoy almost all the park's wonders. While it could be below freezing up in Clingman's Dome, the tallest peak in the Smokies, and covered in several inches, if not feet, of snow or ice, down in Gatlinburg, it's usually warmer and more manageable. You can still take a hike and immerse yourself in nature without much limitation.
We had seen so many of the national parks, and they're all beautiful in their own regard. They've all got their pros. But the reason we decided to come out here, I think, is, again, it mixes all the beauty and all the wonder, but with comfort, you know? So we loved areas like Montana and Wyoming, but we're not snow people. We can't handle the extreme cold. And so I think this is really, it's pretty similar in terms of beautiful mountains and lush forests, but the winters aren't so super cold. Initially, the plan was to come down at the same angle.
With the help of their family, the two decided to take the leap and work on creating what they hope visitors will see as a breath of fresh air.
The dream comes from the creative process and the desire to build something cool.
By cool, they mean it's not your typical cabin in the woods.
We wanted to stay true to the wooden cabin in the woods feeling, but we wanted to add a modern spin to it. And we wanted to make it a little bit more elevated, a little bit more luxurious. The entire property is called Valhalla Cabins, and each cabin belongs to one of the Viking gods. So the one we're on right now is Thor's cabin.
One of the reasons we decided to go with the A-frame is because they're unique, because you don't see them very often. And I think that kind of adds to the feeling of we're going on a vacation. Look at this crazy unique cabin we could stay in.
Nobody.
The consumer is strong. The balance sheets are strong.
Brings you America's business news.
There's so much going on.
And what it means for you.
We want to get some breaking news to you right now. Fox Business Alert.
Like Fox Business, keeping you ahead of the curve.
All the insider selling by some of the richest people on earth.
With insight into the impact of U.S. and global markets.
That's where the recipe for inflation comes.
From the people you can trust.
Let's have some fun with this.
Fox Business, America's business network.
All right, here we go. Trump trial, 8 years later, 7 months before the 2024 election. It is a trial that shouldn't happen in a case that Alvin Bragg never should have brought. Joining us now to talk about this, Alan Dershowitz, professor emeritus at Harvard Law School, Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst, and author of The Constitution of the United States, other patriotic documents. Greg Jarrett, what is up with this case? I mean, really, what is up with this case?
You know, this is the most tortured, convoluted, cockamamie case I've ever seen a prosecutor bring. And I've been a lawyer for more than 40 years. I've tried cases. This is truly outrageous because it's punitive. and quite blatantly politically motivated. Bragg is contorting the law by taking an expired misdemeanor, attaching it to a federal campaign finance violation that isn't a violation at all. What's more, he's not actually charging that underlying crime because he has no jurisdiction and authority as a local prosecutor to do that. The Federal Election Commission and the Department of Justice looked at this and said, this isn't a campaign donation. There's no crime here. But enter Alvin Bragg, who thinks he knows better and can prove the case. But frankly, all he's got going for him is a biased, Trump-hating judge and a jury pool that I am afraid is, you know, virulently adverse to Donald Trump. It's going to be tough for him to get a fair and impartial jury.
Professor Dershowitz, this was, as Greg said, the Justice Department looked at this and rejected it. The Federal Election Commission looked at this and rejected it. The other one that's so interesting is Cy Vance Jr. I'm going to call him a moderate Democrat, whether that's fair or not. He's an old friend of mine. He looked at it and didn't want to bring it. So why is Bragg bringing it other than, Professor Dershowitz, the fact that it's pure election year politics? I mean, is there an iota of judicial meaning to this case?
No, of course not. And the only reason they're bringing it is to keep Donald Trump out of Pennsylvania when Biden goes out of Wisconsin, to keep him out of Arizona, to keep him out of other states. This is direct election interference. The purpose of this trial is to keep him from campaigning, to give the advantage to Joe Biden and his campaign. Now, I'm not a Trump supporter politically, but I know unfairness when I see it. I would like to see Trump defeated on the merits without election interference, fairly and squarely, in a way that he can't complain, that Republicans who voted for him can't complain. And the New York district attorney is denying the people of America the right to a fair election. And there is nothing to this case, nothing whatsoever. There's no misdemeanor here. If there were a misdemeanor here, Alexander Hamilton would have gone to jail. He paid hush money to cover up an affair with a married woman, and he didn't list it on his Treasury Department forms. Nobody in American history, I submit, nobody in world history has ever been indicted for failing to disclose hush money. Why would anybody ever pay hush money if they had an obligation to disclose it? It's an oxymoron. It's not even a misdemeanor. And then they turn the misdemeanor into a felony by going outside the jurisdiction of the state courts, invoking a prosecution which the federal prosecutors declined to bring.
Right.
This is outrageous. And I hope that Trump's lawyers would bring a mandamus right now and say, at the very least, let Trump out of the courtroom.
Right.
Let him campaign. If he makes a decision that he would like to waive the right to be there, there's nothing in the Constitution which gives the prosecution the right to keep him there. It's only a defendant's right. If the defendant chooses to waive that right and leave the courtroom at any given day, whether to go to his son's graduation from school, which apparently the judge didn't grant, or to campaign in Pennsylvania, he has the right to do that. And that's a constitutional case that should be brought immediately.
Greg Jarrett, can you get a fair trial in New York?
Of course not.
Oh, I'm skeptical.
Of course not.
I'm skeptical that you can. What I would want is a working class juror who hates and really resents the fact that crime runs rampant on the streets of New York, and you've got this progressive district attorney, Alvin Bragg, who doesn't care. You know, whether it's a shooting or an assault on the street, you know, he allows people to go free. And instead, he's bringing this victimless crime that is so specious on its face against Donald Trump. And of course, the judge today ordered Trump to be there every day or he was going to toss Trump in jail. The professor is absolutely right. This is election interference. They want to take him off the campaign trail for the next 2 months to benefit Joe Biden and damage Donald Trump. But, you know, I think they're underestimating the intelligence of the American voter. They see this for what it is, dirty legal tricks, lawfare in order to interfere with an election. And I, you know, look at the poll numbers. There seems to be a backlash against this in favor of Trump because they see him not as a villain, but as a victim of a crooked system of justice run by Biden Democrats.
I would agree with Jared. We're on television. We're great if it were on television. But the American public is being denied the right to see how the American justice system is being distorted. There's no reason for this trial not to be on television. If we saw this case every day on television, voters would be appalled, be appalled at the case. But they're going to read about it in the New York Times. They're going to hear about it on MSNBC. They're going to hear about it on CNN. And they're going to think, wow, this is the strongest case that has ever been brought because we have a total distortion. Just to go back 25, 30 years, the polls show that people who watch the actual O.J. Simpson case on television were not surprised at the result. But if they read about it in the New York Times and saw about it on CNN, they were shocked because they didn't know what really went on in the courtroom. The same thing is true here. If they just read about it through the filter of the left-wing media, they're going to think this is a good, strong case. Well, but if they actually start for themselves, they would be outraged and appalled. That's why this case should be on television.
We'll do the best we can here at Fox. We will try to cover those hopes on Fox as best we can. Professor Alan Dershowitz, thank you, sir. As always, Greg Jarrett, thanks very much. Coming up here on Kudlow, oh, yeah, I bet you didn't know this. Today is tax day. Maybe you did know it. April 15th. So where did your taxes go? No one knows. No one has any clue where the taxes go. We'll talk about it with Steve Moore and Kevin Assett and Steve Forbes. And remember, folks, Kudlow, available as a podcast. Episodes available every weekday right after the show on Spotify, on Apple, and foxbusinesspodcast.com. We are a supply-side tax-cutting foxbusiness.com podcast or something like that. We'll be right back.
Mornings with Maria on Fox Business.
Every morning, I want to empower my viewers to move their families forward and seize the day.
All the news that drives the markets and beyond. Mornings with Maria on Fox Business. Invested in you.
We slowed down an abandoned checkpoint, and out of nowhere, the first missile came out of nowhere. Lands about 30 feet in front of us. Immediately, Pierre shouts, "Reverse the car, reverse the car." There were two Ukrainians driving as well, and five of us in the car. The car got stuck, we couldn't go back, and Pierre shouted, "Get out of the car, everyone get out of the car." And the next second, the second bomb hits, right in front of the left of the car. And that one, I went black. And I was in a dark place. I couldn't feel or see. And I'd taken some shrapnel in the eye, and a matchbox-sized shrapnel in my neck, and I was out dead. And then I saw my daughter out of nowhere into this blackness, right in front of me, came my daughter Honor, and she said to me, "Daddy, you've got to get out of the car." Real as if she was in front of me, out of nowhere she came to me. And I came to, and I opened up my eyes, and my instinct took me towards the car door. And I scrambled, I pulled myself out, and I got out of the car, and the third bomb hit the car itself right after that. Next thing I know, I wake up, it's thrown me away, I'm on fire, my right leg is gone. I roll around, I try to put...
You had lost your foot at that point.
I'd lost the foot. The foot had gone. Ironically, I didn't notice it at the time.
And then your eye is injured bleeding everywhere.
I took pieces out of my skull out. My left hand, which has been put back together, was all torn up, the thumb hanging off. So I was lying there, and Pierre was still alive at this point. And Pierre immediately said, "Don't move, Russian drones." And so I'm lying there in this barren landscape, trying not to move, trying to think of what we can do, looking at my injuries, realizing how badly injured I am. And I get my cell phone out, and no reception. Can't get hold of anyone. No one knew where we were. We'd been moving around a little bit. And so I actually had my cell phone out, and the first thought I will record what I'm seeing. And I actually stopped, and I took a picture of my leg and some of my injuries. And I immediately thought, well, my children can't see this. If I don't come home, that can't be the last picture that perhaps they see. So I was sitting there, and I deleted them immediately. But we lay there for a while longer, and Pierre again, who was lying about 5 feet away from me or so, just lying there, just said, "The Russians, the Russians." And after a while, a car came past. It was up on this ridge just by me. I shouted, "A car, a car," and I started trying to wave at it, trying to get its attention. It didn't see me, and Pierre said, "It's the Russians, it's the Russians." And I said, it doesn't matter. I'm so badly injured, I've got to go.
This is Dawson Springs, Kentucky, or what's left of it. You can see the debris field here. Aluminum from roofs. You have wood boards with nails from homes all over. People's belongings, pillows, clothes, picture albums, someone's fence here.
This is the same exact spot that you just saw me walking through just 2 days after the tornado hit. My goodness, look at it now. Mostly cleared out, certainly not piles of people's belongings. The trees behind, many of them torn down as well. And you take a look at this neighborhood. There are slabs where there used to be homes. Now there is a rebuilding process here in Dawson Springs.
If you're in Israel, thanks for watching Fox on CELCOM. For the latest headlines, check out foxbusiness.com and foxnews.com.
The Evening Edit with Elizabeth McDonald.
One of the biggest goals of the show is to look out for Americans. We pull back the curtain and show you what's really going on.
Elizabeth McDonald is breaking the biggest stories. The Evening Edit on Fox Business. Invested in you.
All right, April 15th. Here we are. It's tax day. Do you know where your money went? No one knows. Our own Grady Trimble standing by. I don't think he knows, but he's going to try to know. Grady, what do you got?
Larry, some of it is going back to taxpayers in the form of refunds, which, by the way, are higher this year than last. And part of the reason for that is the IRS adjusted the standard deduction and tax rates higher to offset inflation. The Treasury Department and the IRS say the average refund, a little over $3,000 this year, about $123 more than a year ago. Taxes, as you know, are becoming a major political issue this election cycle. Former President Trump touting his tax cuts on the trail, pushing for more cuts, while President Biden is saying he'll raise them on the wealthy and corporations.
House Republicans, with that one vote majority, are the only thing standing in the way of those higher taxes, that higher inflation that Joe Biden wants to impose upon those families.
President Biden is taking his tax messaging on the road tomorrow, speaking in front of a hometown crowd in Scranton, Pennsylvania. We got a little bit of a preview of it in today's White House press briefing.
The way we see the economy is very different than the way Republicans see the economy and how we make sure we have an economy that works for all. Making sure that the wealthiest among us, the billionaires and corporations, pay their fair share, we believe is the way to go here, not putting that burden on everyday Americans.
And as the White House talks about raising taxes this tax day, more Americans than ever say in our latest Fox News poll that the taxes they're paying are just too high. Larry?
Grady, for God's sake, I'm so tired of listening to that. I mean, for heaven's sakes, the top 1% pay almost half the income. I'm sorry. You're just a reporter, and we appreciate it very, very much, all right? Honest to God, I'm so sick to death of this. So let's talk about this. Let's bring in Steve Moore, Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline, host of More Money on WABC Radio, Kevin Hassett, former chair, Council of Economic Advisors, distinguished fellow at the Hoover Institution, author of The Drift, Stopping American Slide to Socialism, and Steve Forbes, Forbes Media Chair, Editor-in-Chief, and author of Inflation, What It Is, Why It's Bad, and How to Fix It. Steve Forbes, you look very oppressed today. Do you know where your money has gone? I mean, honest to God, she says that that's all Biden has to say. The full extent of his tax policy analysis is the rich should pay their fair share and they don't. And they're paying a fortune and everybody knows that.
Well, the fact of the matter is, as has been said before, inflation is a tax. It's a hidden sales tax.
Whoa.
And that is who gets hurt the most. We know who they are. Tens of millions of people living paycheck to paycheck, in up to their eyeballs in credit card debt, interest rates going up. We've discussed here before, what's the real rate of inflation? It's not 3%. It's 7% when you include interest payments. Mm-hmm. You have to pay that interest every month. Got as high as 18%. So Joe Biden's taxing the people who have the least, and yet he's babbling on about getting to the rich. All this is not about revenue. This is about control. It's not about growth. It's about controlling people's lives.
We looked, Kevin, one of the producers, total revenues through 22, fiscal 22 is the last year statistics of income from the IRS. Anyway, total revenues are 40% above where they were in 2017 when the Trump tax cuts were put in. 40% increase in revenues. And I just want to add, we're still running a roughly $2 trillion budget deficit. No matter how much money you tax, no matter how many revenues flow in, the Biden deficits are endless.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And the shameless thing, though, you were angry listening to those fake talking points of the White House. The amazing thing is that they just keep saying that over and over, year after year, and they don't really seem to have any commitment to the truth about economic policy. And so I really don't understand how an honorable person on the economic team could stand there and allow them to say things like that, because your job is to help run the economy and have smart policies. And if you want more progressive taxation, then you could talk about how to do that without harming the economy. But to just lie about it the way they do over and over, it really is infuriating. The fact is, corporate revenue has almost doubled since we cut the corporate rate because of the Laffer curve effect. The share of, as you guys have shown, Steve, in your newsletter, the share of taxes paid by the top 1% has gone up, not down. And so this idea that you have to raise tax rates because of this incredible injustice in society is just incorrect. It's inconsistent with the facts. And it's just a lie that just keeps on going.
Steve Moore, fix the tax code, right?
I'd
here.
Love to.
Fix the tax code. You got about 30 seconds.
I got the best advisor in the country to do that, sitting right here, Steve Forbes, who ran on the flat tax.
Yes.
And, you know, look, our enemies couldn't come up with a tax system that makes less sense than what we have right now. It is a total disgrace to the human race. We can do much better. How about this one, Steve and Larry and Kevin? How about an optional flat tax? So you can either have the complicated system that nobody can figure out, or you pay, what was your rate?
17%. After $53,000 of salary for a family of four.
And you get a deduction for yourself and your kids, right?
Yes.
And then you pay 17%. And you could fill, you know, I think you had the postcard return. I bet the vast majority of Americans would go for that. It would be like rocket fuel for the economy. Imagine we had a 17% tax rate. Not Biden wants to take it up to 50%. We'd suck capital from the rest of the world, so we can do so much better. And I love that's why I want Steve Forbes to be the Treasury Secretary.
He can be the Treasury Secretary.
Yeah.
Kevin Hassett, what about extending the Trump tax cuts? That wouldn't be a bad place to start, because they were, contrary to Karine Jean-Pierre and Joe Biden, they were successful.
Sure.
They're bipartisan economists, academics, who have looked at the corporate tax cuts and said, wait a second, they were successful. Moreover, everybody got a tax cut. And correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, the tax code became more progressive, not less progressive.
Yeah, that's right. And real wages went up as well. And so you're actually helping out the little guy. But the fact is, and this is where the election comes up, that the tax cuts, are almost all of them, are set to expire. And some of them, like the expensing, are phasing out right now. And so, you know, Steve Scalise could say, oh, well, we Republicans are the only thing between you and a tax hike that Joe Biden's planning. And actually, they can't stop it. You know, they can't stop it because it's going to happen unless there's active legislation.
The personal.
To Trump tax
the
cuts,
personal.
The personal side.
Yes.
But all, you know, all the personal income tax stuff expires, and it's going to expire unless there's positive action. And so you have to control Congress and control the White House.
Recommend
to save the
me.
Tax cuts.
Recommend me. This is a little bit unfair. Recommend me an option. Mm-hmm. Trump comes in. Let's just say, for argument's sake, Trump wins. What does he do?
Well, he makes the tax cuts permanent. Mm-hmm. I would increase or reduce the corporate rate even more. Mm-hmm. And I would think about cutting spending a lot and using it to finance something like a payroll tax cut. Because I think mm-hmm. the payroll tax is a tax on work. And we need more workers out there in order to increase supply and reduce inflation. And so that's what I would do.
I mean, Steve Forbes, the merits of a flat tax notwithstanding, and we favor the principle, the reality is there's going to have to be a lot of spending restraints and economic growth mm-hmm. to fill in the gaps, to extend the Trump tax cuts and or do something like a payroll tax cut, which would by and large be a middle class tax mm-hmm. cut.
Yeah, otherwise we're going to get a wealth tax. That's their real agenda. Mm-hmm. But in terms of a tax cut, yeah, start with Trump, but double it mm-hmm. and cut rates and realize this is the down payment for a real overhaul of the tax code. That's what he should say. This is a byway to a real overhaul of the tax code. Removing this burden on you. Why are we spending 6 billion hours a year, $300 billion on this corrupt code that no one understands? Imagine if that went for medical research. Imagine if that went for new products and new services. How much better off we'd be. The opportunity cost is huge.
Can I grow the economy at 3.5% a year?
Six and a half.
I mean, no, we can't. I mean, look, that's the average that we had.
If you make it pay more. Yes. To work after right, tax, right. If you make it pay more to invest after tax, why won't you get an incentive effect that would get us out of this 2% growth and into something much greater?
I love the way you're thinking, because what's the CBO long time? They're like at 1.7% rate right. or something. We should be twice that.
Yeah, I know.
You're going to get the revenue. I mean, look what when Reagan came in and they did the tax cuts in like 18 months, you grew the economy 18% or something like that. So the effect, by the way, one quick question. Do you know what country in Europe has the fastest economic growth?
Yes.
Who?
Ireland.
You know what their corporate tax rate is?
Yes. 12.5%.
Why don't we get ours
down?
This isn't complicated.
Do you know who defended the prime minister in the Oval Office?
I did.
I did.
After it worked.
People were ganging up on the poor guy. No, that's right. If you tax something less, you get more of it. That's why I raised the point. I mean, I think if President Trump wins, if he's reelected, he will look to extend the tax cuts, but he will also look for something that might be more directed at the middle class. That's why I asked you, Kevin. Mm-hmm. And your point is you're going to have to cut spending. I'll do it, which is not a bad goal, right? I mean, you've got to have a balanced budget approach in there someplace. And the rest could be made up by growth or not.
Yeah, but there's a lot of room to cut spending. Right. So spending right now is about $1 trillion higher than we thought it would be when you and I were in the White House mm-hmm. pre-COVID. And that's $1 trillion a year that basically is the biggest fiscal policy opportunity in history. So the Republicans get in there with reconciliation. They're starting with, if they cut spending back to where it was set to go in 2019, with $10 trillion over 10 years to play with.
Just get through the $350 billion green energy slush fund. There's right a third there. Of what you need right there.
Which probably
comes to $1 trillion. The misnamed Inflation Reduction Act was probably coming to $1 trillion, according to Penn Ward. Steve Forbes, I want to come to the actual economy today. Long-term interest rates up to 4.63, the 10-year Treasury. Retail sales out today probably stronger than Wall Street expected. The price of gold is soaring. I think it moved through $2,400 today. What's your read on the economy?
The economy is growing. However, the gold price, commodity prices are telling us the dollar is wobbly, mm-hmm. even though in other currencies are even worse. Mm-hmm. The Fed's got problems ahead, and you don't cure it by raising interest rates and depressing the economy. Stabilize the dollar, make the dollar as good as gold, as Greenspan sort of did in the 1990s, and you'll see the dollar stabilize and the economy grow, and the Fed can take a long-term vacation. Leave the economy alone.
Joe Biden's numbers narrowed in the New York Times Siena poll. Now, I know there's going to be a million polls between now and election day. But the GDP tracker from the Atlanta Fed has now moved up to 2.8% for the first quarter, which ended March 31st. They're still tallying it. This would mark the third straight quarter of, I'll call it, 3% plus growth. The economy surprise you?
Well, yeah, it's better than I thought it would be. But I just want to remind you, you know what the fastest growing sector of the economy is?
I do.
Government.
Right.
So we're counting
on
government.
I passed the Ireland test, so I have to know about government spending.
Yeah, I mean, we shouldn't even count government spending as part of GDP.
So is it true? Okay, so government spending.
And debt.
Presumably stimulating consumer spending. Are we getting it on the, so we have demand. Are we getting it on the business side? Or is that demand outstripping supply of business equipment, machinery, right, and so forth? In other words, how lopsided is this economy?
Well, it's very lopsided, and you mentioned the right thing. You know, equipment investment has been declining for a few quarters in a row while GDP has been growing because we're basically borrowing money from the Chinese and mailing it around to people, and they're spending it on stuff. But Steve mentioned the inflation tax. One of the reasons why retail sales was so strong is that there were really blockbuster sales at gas stations. The reason there were blockbuster sales at gas stations. So the AAA average price of the U.S. went from $3.30 last month to $3.60 this month. And that's money that people aren't going to have to spend on other things. And so I think that the economy is more wobbly than these data suggest.
You know what? I'm just going to leave it right there. The economy is more wobbly. We need a flat tax.
We fire the IRS.
Need a payroll tax, too. And it was Ireland has the fastest growth in Europe. Steve Moore, Kevin Hassett, and Steve Forbes, thanks all of you. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Much. Tax day is a dreadful holiday. Coming up, however, Iran's attack on Israel was stopped cold. Now we're going to wait for an Israeli attack on Iranian military assets. Plus, Mayorkas's impeachment is coming right around the corner. So we're going to ask Senator Marsha Blackburn about all that when Kudlow returns. Tax day. Bleh.
Biden's green energy price tag. After passing the Inflation Reduction Act to reduce power costs, why are everyday Americans paying more? Tonight on The Bottom Line.
Deep in the bowels of America's finest, the fish processing department is still busy cleaning, packing, and freezing the boat's previous catch, about 20 tons of yellowfin sole. And it's up to guys like Luis Sanchez to ensure this highly complex assembly line runs both quickly and smoothly. That is when he's not giving cameras the nickel tour.
These are live tanks. So they haul back, they usually dump the, well, they dump the fish in these tanks. We have the four tanks. After that, they haul the fish go through here to this conveyor. They go through a scale that weighs all the fish that we have on board. We have the yellowfin, sole. This is our target.
Once rinsed and weighed, the yellowfin are conveyed to a particularly sinister piece of machinery known as the header.
That's where they cut off the head, and the machine takes the guts out. So here we go. No guts, no head. They come through here. These people have to sort it in every different bin. They sort it by species and size.
After sorting, the headless fish make their way to the packing area, where they're placed into pans about 40 pounds at a time.
They grab this pan, put the fish in the pan. Here we wrap it up with the plastic.
Finally, the pans of yellowfin sole are ready to be flash frozen, allowing America's finest to keep them fresh until it's time to head ashore.
It takes about 2 hours to freeze this 20-kilogram case of fish. Here we have our rock injector. What that does is separates the fish from this pan. It's a stainless steel pan. So here, he's bagging that case of fish. Another case, stack it on one of these pallets. It's 1,000 pallets, a little bit over 1,000 pallets that we need to fill up the freezer hold. Once we have the 1,000 pallets, we start heading down to our base in offload all this product, come back on sea and start again.
Usually in art galleries, phones are discouraged. But for a new exhibit from one of the world's most renowned pop artists, phones open new worlds.
Ooh.
These are the works of Japanese artist Takashi Murakami, now on display at New York City's Gagosian Gallery. Visitors can use special Snapchat filters to unlock virtual reality experiences that help bring the paintings to life. Many of the brightly colored avatars seen gracing the walls and the gleaming figurines on the gallery floor are physical pieces modeled after the same digital works Murakami created as NFTs in the metaverse.
People still do not understand NFTs.
NFT stands for non-fungible token. They're essentially digital property that people can own and collect. And for Murakami, his exhibit is a tribute to the blending of online and tangible art.
I wanted to express how I digested the unceasing history of art created by human beings.
These fish paintings, for example, are inspired by ancient Chinese vases valued at tens of millions of dollars. Like NFTs, Murakami says no one thought the vases would one day hold such value.
When they were created, nameless artisans drew the paintings on those vases. But through the history, it all became valuable. And when I saw them, they moved me and motivated me to paint them.
If you can't make it to the Big Apple, you can tour the exhibition virtually by visiting Gagosian.com or by using a VR headset. Ted Lindner, Fox News.
All right, House Speaker Mike Johnson just signed impeachment articles for DHS Secretary Mayorkas. Those articles are headed to the Senate tomorrow. We are told at 2:15 p.m. You see his picture signing it. Joining us to talk about that and some other things, we welcome back Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn. Senator Blackburn, welcome back. So the speaker is going to, he signed them, he's going to send the articles. Nobody, all of a sudden, nobody's talking about the border and the impeachment issue. And I know we can talk about Israel, ma'am, but I just thought I'd catch you on this. I know this is a key subject. Will the border battle continue?
Oh, indeed, the border battle is going to continue, Larry. People are living the consequences of this open border every single day. They see it in deaths from fentanyl, in gangs that are in communities, crime that is rising, human trafficking, sex trafficking. They know every town's a border town, every state a border state. So, indeed, this battle is going to continue. And I will tell you this, Tennesseans want to see Secretary Mayorkas impeached and brought to trial, and they're looking forward to the Senate taking this up now that the House has signed their impeachment papers.
What do you reckon? Walk us through what happens, I guess, tomorrow at 2 o'clock or 2:15. All right, so it's sent over. Some messenger sends it over. It goes to the Senate Majority Leader, that being Democrat Chuck Schumer. What happens, Senator Blackburn?
Yes, following that, either tomorrow afternoon late or Wednesday morning, we will be sworn in as a court of impeachment. Every senator is sworn in. Then the articles will be presented. We know that Chuck Schumer is going to try to table the articles. We have three members that are going to present organizing resolutions, one from Senator Lee, one from Senator Kennedy, and a trial committee resolution from Senator Cruz. There are several of us that have points of order that we think should be addressed. And we want to bring this to a trial as we have previously done. You know, the articles of impeachment have never been tabled, never been tabled. And this would be a first.
Senator Schmidt told me, I think it was Friday, Senator Schmidt told me on Friday that basically you all can block business, other business, if for some reason Schumer tries to break precedent and table this impeachment resolution, that you can just block business and that that's going to put him in a very difficult position. What's your thinking on that?
we should be blocking and bringing this to a trial. As I said, this has never been done, tabling the impeachment articles and not bringing it forward when the American people are saying this open border is issue number one. And an open border is the Biden border policy. Larry, our Secretary of Homeland Security does not believe in securing the homeland. Of course, he should be tried in the Senate, and we should uphold that impeachment and have him removed from office. The American people fully deserve to know. I mean, today we got the stats of Chinese that have entered this country. More in the first 6 months of this fiscal year than the entire last year. Why do you think all of these Chinese, primarily young single men, are coming into this country? You don't leave China unless they tell you you can leave China. So someone is paying the cartels to bring these individuals here. We need some answers.
Just the last 20 seconds, ma'am. We always run out of time. I know there's going to be a lot of pressure for an international funding bill. Can you keep the border in that bill?
What we're going to do this evening, I will be on the floor with the Live UC to fully fund Israel's request without any offsets. Oh. And we will do that after votes this evening.
All right. Senator Marsha Blackburn, thank you, ma'am. Terrific stuff. We appreciate it.
Economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal say the chances of a recession within the next year are down to 29%. That's down from 39% in the January survey. Tesla is reported to be laying off more than 10% of its global workforce. Tech website Electrek says CEO Elon Musk revealed the plans in a note to staff, saying the company has been growing rapidly and it has duplication of roles and job functions in certain areas. Electrek estimates the 10% could mean 14,000 employees will be laid off. Apple has lost smartphone market share. Research firm IDC says Samsung is again the world's top global smartphone company, partly because Chinese companies are siphoning off some of the global market. IDC says global shipments of Apple smartphones slipped more than 9.5% in the recent quarter. And Nike is facing backlash over its new Olympic uniforms designed for Team USA's female track athletes. Former track stars saying online the high cut will make it difficult and uncomfortable to compete, as opposed to the men's designs, which covers most of the thigh. Nike says athletes can opt in or out of the new look. That's business in New York. I'm CJ Papa.
Ever since Edison came up with that nifty little gadget known as the light bulb, electricity has been an integral part of American life. Take our refrigerators, for example. It requires up to 25 large power plants just to keep those running. And that's just the tip of the electrical iceberg. And while there are thousands of facilities that channel this commodity through millions of miles of power line, in the end, only one of them returned our phone calls. The Hoover Dam. Built in 1936 on the Nevada-Arizona border, this icon of American ingenuity can churn out enough electricity to power more than a million homes in the Southwest.
The invasion, known as the Bay of Pigs, is a colossal failure. Most of the Cuban exiles are captured, and Kennedy spends over $50 million for their release. It's one of the worst military blunders in U.S. history. The press and public put the blame squarely on Kennedy.
In late 1961, people were talking about John F. Kennedy as a one-term president. This was seen as evidence that he wasn't up to the job.
John F. Kennedy had some fits and starts, especially when it came to the Bay of Pigs, to the point where he had to ask former President Eisenhower for help and advice. And there's a great picture of them walking together up the walkway in Camp David. John F. Kennedy, as president, turns to the former President Eisenhower and says, "This is really a lot tougher than I thought it was going to be." And Eisenhower turns to Kennedy and says, "With all due respect, Mr. President, I told you this 3 months ago."
If you're in Canada, thank you for watching Fox on Rogers. For the very latest headlines, check out foxnews.com and keep it right here.
When news breaks.
And we begin with this Fox News alert.
America turns to Fox News Channel.
We are feeling the impact all across the country.
Stream it now on the Fox News International app. It's the place for top political coverage.
It's a very big day here at the White House.
With must-see insight and analysis you won't get anywhere else.
We will never be the media mob.
And stay on top of the U.S. markets with Fox Business. Watch your favorite shows live or get them on demand. Download the Fox News International app now from the Apple or Google Play stores. Also available on Amazon Fire.
All right, I've got a trifecta. Number one, back Israel. Number two, close the border. And number three, flatten tax rates. That solves all problems, best I can determine.
It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.